Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, March the 13th, 2009.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
We've said it before, this year, let's try it again. Has the market turned? We'll ask again today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Allendale's Joe Victor. Our panelists in studio today are Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Here are the way the numbers settled in Chicago week to week on the day trade and overnight. The March contract in the wheat pit had a high this week of $5.27.5. The low there at $4.96.75, with a settlement week over week down 9.75 at $5.06.5, again on the weekly chart. July futures at $5.30.75 for the soft red, down 8 cents. March corn, $3.81 for the top this week, the bottom at $3.54. Settlement price, 22.25 cents higher at $3.75. The new crop December at $4.18, up 27.25. March soybeans, $9.05 the high, the low at $8.70.25, with a settlement price 3.5 cents higher at $8.82.5. The November contract settled $8.23.75. November beans up 8.75 cents Friday to Friday. April live cattle, $84.85, the high, the low at $82. Settlement price, $2.20 higher at $84.65. The March feeders at $91.95, up $1.45. And the April lean hogs this week, a top of $63.50, bottom at $60.25, with the settlement price at $63.20, up 70 cents on the week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's open our discussion this week with this question, Pete Manhart. Which do you have more faith in, a bottom in the Dow Jones or the Informa 81.4 million acre corn figure?
Man, that's a hard question because I have faith in neither one, but I guess I'd have to say the corn acres, even though I don't believe it.
Chuck Shelby?
I'm on neither one of those myself.
And Dan Zwicker?
Well, I think they both have a decent shot. The Dow performed quite well this week. We rallied, I think, upwards of 9% off the lows. You got some nice weekly reversals in place, I think. So I think all in all, you got to kind of be positive toward the Dow for some further upside. And as far as the Infoma number, that I think depends upon the planting weather. And I think there's a pretty strong tendency to believe that we're going to have planting delays in the northwestern Corn Belt.
Dan, if you could lay out the technical picture for the corn market at this time.
From a technical perspective, you have to be generally positive the corn market. This week we were able to penetrate a previous rally high point. This is the first time we've done that since the market turned down there in January. So that kind of shifts the overall trend to at least sideways. We'll have to see on a setback how much strength it has. But I think from a technical perspective and a cyclical perspective, I have to be generally friendly to the corn market here for a period of strength.
Chuck, as a farmer, have you turned friendly to the corn market yet?
Well, I think the market action is going to be telling us that in the upcoming weeks here. I think the reason the bean numbers show up so high is it's been a simple answer to just go out and order your bean seed. I think the thing we have to watch on these reports is that, kind of like the old hog reports when there was a lot of hog farmers around the country, you know, would they tell them what they want to hear or would they tell them what they're really going to do? So I think beans has been a simple answer to plant more bean acres.
Well, that bean number, let's talk a bit about that, Pete, because the numbers came in like this in Informa and Allendale numbers. Both were between 4 and 5 million acres higher than the previous year. Bean number from Informa at 81.502, Allendale's number at 80.439. That's up quite a bit from the previous year, and even USDA was only predicting 77 million earlier this year, although the acreage figures won't come out until we really get a look at them on March 31st. Do you see that number being that large?
I fear that it won't be, but if you look at the ratio corn-to-bean price, what's that going to do to things? Is that going to change people's minds? And then, as Dan said, the spring planting weather will have a lot to do with it. If you didn't buy your fertilizer and you see a lot like acres of corn, there'll be a lot of guys saying, hey, we better go back to more corn because that'll give us opportunity more there than beans.
Dan, do you think producers will switch back to corn, or have they made that decision at this point?
Well, you got to keep in mind that these are estimates, or at least an Informa estimate, I believe, is as of this March 1 time frame. So there's time. There's a lot of things can change here as we go into the planting season. But of all the corners of the Midwest Corn Belt that I visited this winter, I think it's right on the money. Actually, I think I had an 81.7. So I think that's where the acres are headed. Spring planting, I think, is going to determine whether or not those are attained or not.
Let's deal with new crop then. Based on what you think the acres are, you've already given this, Dan. What do you do with new crop then?
You know, there's. I guess I got to be more in the defensive mode for new crop soybeans. I think just because these numbers are out doesn't necessarily mean the market can't recover. Something may come along and give us a rally. But I think for the most part, you have to, I think, be generally defensive beans, at least for a 60-day window. You know, after the 60-day window, maybe we don't get all those beans planted. Maybe we have a real early spring. You know, Illinois could be planting corn here in a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden the whole attitude of the market changes, and then the bean market has to readjust, thinking that there'll be less acres.
Chuck, numbers from risk management?
On the corn side, on the sales side, we're looking at 450, 460 futures to make sales, either in the cash side or go to the puts. On rallies back in beans at all, we'd be a similar situation trying to get into put side of it. So cash sales, if we get high enough and you get a good basis, otherwise go to the put side of it and be defensive.
And Pete?
I'm on the if we bounce, be ready to buy the puts on corn. That 450, 60 area is a big barrier. I think we're going to have a tough time getting through the 25 to 30 area that we made a month ago. On the beans, I would be looking at puts on any bounce and even some outright sales. I do think we will have more bean acres, but all of the meetings I went to this winter in Illinois was farmers were planting the same amount of corn or even a little more.
Dan, we got numbers for corn sales, too, from the other two. So where do you stand on that one?
Oh, I guess I would have to be neutral to probably friendly the corn market. I generally think we have maybe up through May 1 before we really have to worry about making any major decisions. So I guess that's the approach that I would take.
I suggested, I guess, earlier in the year that this seems like we're going back to normal seasonal-type trends. Is that really maybe still the case? I think, Dan, at one point you suggested that was true. Are we still in that place?
Well, I guess define what normal is. I guess there is a normal Illinois. I used to live there. But We're basically in a counter-seasonal move, at least. I mean, we had a shot to pull out of a February low. The market failed to do that. We sank right on into this late February, early March type time frame. I don't know if we've got enough ump to really put on a good seasonal rally as we go into the spring months, because it's pretty much going to be a weather-dependent factor, I think.
Without the index funds, which made February an abnormally high month in the last 3 years, this year is more traditional, I'd say. And the springtime rally that we're going to see it in corn, it's more traditional from the standpoint they don't think we have enough corn acres out there. So I'd say, yeah, the seasonal spring rally, we want to take advantage of that and especially try to get some sales made somehow.
You know, it is seasonal to go up now. My problem with it is we've already bounced 45 cents from last week's low. How much further can we bounce in corn?
So I take it that none of you are particularly, at least at the moment, friendly to the marketplace. Did I read that wrong or not?
Oh, I got to be probably maybe a little friendlier than the way you're interpreting it.
Okay.
Just because everybody's so generally bearish. And I think as most growing seasons begin, we seem to have a tendency to highlight all of the uncertainties. And it would be my guess that we'll continue to have those uncertainties, if not more of them, as we go through the next 60 days.
Is anybody think? Well, go on.
My problem with this is part of this 45-cent bounce we've had is due to the Dow rally, and I don't know how far the cat was thrown off the silo, but is it a dead cat bounce, or is it really something turning to go higher? There's still a lot of people saying we're going to go to 5,000 on the Dow.
When you look at the banks, they got excited this week because Citibank and Bank of America showed a profit for the first 2 months, but they left out the fact how many billions did they give them. So, yeah, we still have a lot of economic problems out there.
I just figured Wall Street got happy because Madoff's going to jail. I don't know whether that had anything to do with the bounce or not, but I thought maybe it did. They were unhappy with Obama earlier in the year with the stimulus package, and that seemed to push the market down, so I'm wondering whether Wall Street can trade fundamentals at this time either, just because they seem to be not really knowing where they're headed. So whatever the mood strikes them seems to be whatever the mood strikes them. So let's go back to the Dow then, and the question earlier, can you really believe a bottom would be in the Dow?
Based upon price action, you have to at least put it on the table, I think. Reading the news, worrying about all the situations that may be coming at us, but I guess what's new on that front? I mean, I think we've kind of talked our way through all of these worst-case scenarios. So I think the price action tells us that there's a shot at something like that. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we won't see some shoes fall. I guess I would be concerned from a fundamental point of view about everything the Obama administration has proposed so far. The market has interpreted it as being anti-business. The next shoe to fall would be card check. I think that would be terribly bearish. The investment crowd, and I think you would see maybe a solid retest, if not probably new lows, if something like that would go through.
When we get to next month's unemployment data, it's probably going to show more unemployment. Things are still getting worse, and people are still losing their jobs. So to really, I think, long-term turn the corner on the Dow, you've got to see business getting better. You've got to see people going back to work. So I think these interim pops we see in between the bad news, certainly encouraging. You know, we'd like to see a base-building process, but I don't think it's a V-bottom. If anything, we need to go back and check the lows, and then we can start to build a base again.
Well, let's talk about this just a bit and the way producers might think about it in their marketing situation and how much they need to protect themselves. How do they go about this marketing year, this coming marketing year, and even the finish of the current one, differently than they have in the past? Do they really have to have a better handle on what expenses are this year than in previous years?
Well, the expenses are a lot higher. And all of us here, I think, have trouble with corn getting back to 5. I think we all think they got a shot at going to that 450, 480 area. But again, they have to be proactive and doing something to protect the bottom line, and that would be protecting the bottom side prices with puts.
Well, do they – I mean, let me go back and back that up. They have to be proactive, and you're suggesting proactive includes not just probably crop insurance, but they also need to put puts on. Why?
On beans, mainly because of the possibility of having 5 to 7 million more acres of beans. And if we have that, the carryout could be, we heard at your meeting the other day, from 100 million all the way to 900 million, with a lot of people talking 5 to 600, and that would really be a disaster for bean prices.
Because we've been in the demand-driven rallies in the past several years, if the rallies we're going to get now, they're supply-driven. Why are we talking about corn? Because we're talking about a supply shrinkage if the acres aren't big enough, so we need to sell those rallies.
Well, you take a look at the crop insurance coverages. I think, you know, farmers should probably buy up to that 85% level or more if they can, depending upon which policy they buy. I think then they're pretty well covered. I think the only thing they have to really worry about is that 25% or 20% that's maybe not covered by insurance.
You have until Monday, that's the 16th, to make crop insurance decisions. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Joe Victor.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. We experienced a variety of weather the second week of March, not all that unusual for this time of year. The week started with severe thunderstorms and tornadoes in central and southern Illinois, then heavy rain and flooding in northern Illinois. Very strong high winds followed the departure of the storm system on Sunday night, and then there was barely more than a day before the next storm came in and brought more rain to the state. That was followed by much colder air, and temperatures remained in the 30s until the end of the week. Temperatures were below normal in northwestern Illinois this week and above normal in the southeast. Precipitation was much above normal across the state this week, with the heaviest rain in northern Illinois. For the month so far, the northern half of the state has much above normal precipitation, in some cases already above the normal for the month of March. In the southern half of Illinois, March precipitation ranges from near normal in central Illinois to actually less than 50% of normal along and south of I-70. This coming week looks to be a rather quiet one in Illinois for a change. Temperatures will gradually moderate early in the week. However, a cold front will bring an end to that around midweek as it drops south through the state, and temperatures will fall back below normal by the end of the week. A few light showers may accompany the front as it passes through, but overall it looks like most of Illinois will be dry. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It was produced Friday, the 13th day of March, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Joining us now from Crystal Lake, Illinois, is the Director of Marketing, Joe Victor, at Allendale. He came there in 1991. Our guest was a grain merchant with Seeger's Grain prior to that, and he served as the department head of agriculture at McHenry County College. Good afternoon to you, Joe. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation, Tom.
Let's start with the acreage predictions released this week. Not yours, but Informa's. It wasn't quite 4 million corn acres less than Allendale's. What was the reaction in the Allendale offices?
Clear-cut surprise, you know, to see that few corn acres, mainly surprise. I mean, it's just a... Looking at comparison to the survey that we have, we just don't believe that farmers are going to leave that many acres fallow.
The other interesting thing on your report there, noticed if you use the 157, almost the 157 yield, Joe, you get the second biggest corn crop ever. So if you line it up against the demand, it looks like that would be enough corn acres to meet the need.
Exactly, and it is a trend yield, 157 bushel per acre, second biggest crop ever at 12.2 billion. We've got total demand, including exports, about 1.9 projected for the 2009-2010 marketing year. So total use, about 12.7 billion bushel. That leaves us with projected end stocks, call it 1.3 billion versus the 1.74 that we have now, and Allendale projecting a season average farm price 2009-2010 at $3.25.
Joe, Peter, what would you be looking at in marketing your 09 crop at the moment? Where would you be at?
Well, right now we're 25% hedged, and again, we get in, and I've been listening to what you guys have been projecting as far as prices, $4.40, $4.50, and that is an area that we want to be more aggressive in marketing corn. And what we're doing is something that we've done for the past 2 to 3 years, and what we refer to as a box option strategy, and more recently looking at something along the lines of selling a 5.40 call, buying a 4.10 put, and then selling a 3.30 put, because we believe that is the downside potential of this market. Comes out to about 15 cents a bushel as far as risk protection. And of course, also we do have lighter than average type plantings, being a little bit more friendly than new crop basis, most definitely on the corn, not at all friendly on the new crop basis for soybeans.
Joe, going back into your supply-demand projections, what are you guys pegging feed usage at and ethanol usage at?
Feed usage, right now we're projecting 5.35 billion, and that compares to a 5.3 billion for the present marketing year. Our ethanol usage, if USDA, the EPA, and the Department of Energy are not going to be changing the mandate of 10.5 billion gallons, we're suggesting ethanol usage at 4.15 billion versus the 3.7 billion presently.
If you look at the bean inside of the equation, Joe, what's your downside objective for beans with that many acres and your average yield there you have?
Well, right now we have the downside objective, something probably closer to $6.25 to $6.50. A season average farm price is $7, and ending stocks we're projecting right now at 526 million. That's under average type weather. If we get a little bit of a dry spell, we're looking at 364 million bushel. If we have exceptional weather, then we could see stocks and stocks in the beans up to 644. But again, we believe the overall trend for the new crop, November soybeans, ultimately lower. You know, think back just a couple of days ago with USDA, with the new numbers that came out on old crop, the thing that just caught us by complete surprise, and that was the huge increase in soybean oil end stocks. The biodiesel is not working. You know, you take an average New York City price on diesel at 122, 7.5 pounds of soybean oil to make the biodiesel blend. It takes the average price for that biodiesel up into the $2.50 to $3 per gallon area, and it's just not working. We're going to have to find more demand coming into the meat sector, and that's just not happening at this point in time. So then what's your alternative? Possible more exports for bean oil, but we've got major competition in the palm oil.
So let me repeat a couple of numbers to you, make sure that I have them right. 3.25 season average price expectation for corn, $7 for soybeans.
Right.
And what do you have as break even for producers?
Well, we ran numbers last Friday and again Monday, and when cash prices were down, the cash price is what I'm going to speak here, Todd, and that was looking at a cash price of $3.40 was only showing about a $19 per acre profit on corn. That's the cash price. On the beans, we were something closer to $7.40 to $7.50 cash beans. And that was actually showing about a $7 per acre loss. So on a cash perspective, we were looking pretty dire straits as of last Friday to this Monday. We see this rally that's occurring. It is offering some hope, some promise, but at the same time, you know, let's not forget the fact that we have a corn market that is definitely continued to be tied to the crude oil market because of the ethanol connection, as well as the stock market. And we would believe that as long as the crude can show any kind of a small rally, as well as the Dow, let's take advantage of it. we get back up into the 420 on corn futures. And, of course, we'd say the upside objective, we get anywhere close to 880 on the November soybean futures. We've got to be aggressive in getting that new crop marketing done.
Given all of these numbers, I take it that you're with the rest of the crew and most everybody else who talks about this sort of thing, that the higher protection you can afford to take in crop insurance you take, are you also suggesting that they put themselves into the new acre program?
Not necessarily. Again, you know, I'd rather be on the leading edge than the bleeding edge. And again, you know, what has brought us to the dance and done well? The three-way box option strategies have worked well. Crop insurance has worked well. But again, the major thing that we're going to have to work with this year is just completely understanding that not only domestically starch stocks are heavy, world starch stocks are heavy, and it may take another full year before we can trim those down to where we get a nice spring rally, and that may have to wait until spring 2010.
What's the backup plan if the market doesn't rally here and all of a sudden the market decides to take a nosedive, let's say 50 cents on corn and a buck and a half on beans?
Well, we believe even with the corn market where it is right now, there is opportunity. You know, that you with the box option strategies, we have a program, many programs, and one in particular that we're using is the Evaluator. And it is showing some good revenue on a gross dollars per acre, and of course, not so much dependent on the fertilizer. We have seen fertilizer prices start to subside. We are seeing the farmers being a little bit more aggressive in locking in some of those fertilizer prices. But what's the backup strategy? There really is not a backup strategy. We believe that we've got the opportunity right now to get some marketing done, not necessarily have to wait for that extra 20 cents, but using the box option strategy seems to be working well, showing gross dollars per acre profit. Then the one that we're definitely more nervous about than anything else is if we have to put our pedal to the metal, so to speak, we got to get the soybean marketing done. The sooner the better before this thing starts to unfold.
Do you think anybody will switch acres if corn continues to rally into the report or after the report and beans continue to sink?
Well, the interesting thing, number one, farmers did not paint themselves in a corner on the fall application of their programs. They have a lot of wiggle room going into spring 2009. One thing that we found interesting is that when it comes to, it's not necessarily an economic decision, it's more of an agronomic decision. We've seen years when the cash corn prices drop 40 cents on corn and soybeans have rallied 40 cents, and farmers will still plant more corn. And that is, again, more of an agronomic decision of saying, hey, the soil moisture's here, the days are perfect to get this crop in, I've got to take advantage of good weather. And that's why, you know, from where we are right now, look back to 2004 up to 2008, no matter what that March planting intention report has said for corn, by the time the June planting acres report comes out, over the past 4 years, corn acres always been higher in June than they have in March. So there is promise.
Joe, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Hey, Joe Victor is with Allendale, and he's out of Crystal Lake, Illinois. Just enough time for a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Not a lot of different, probably, than what we talked about. I do think one needs to kind of watch this market fairly careful over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I'm going to go on vacation that last week of March, and things usually go down during that time.
Chuck Shelby?
There are some opportunities there, as we talked about, but I think we have to be quick on our feet to take advantage of those.
And Pete Manhart.
On bounces like we had this week, be ready to move more old crop corn and do something on new crop corn.
I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.